continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. It's been a summer full of protests calling for racial justice and advocates fighting for diversity and a seat at the table. The Milwaukee Art Museum is welcoming a new position aimed at making art relevant to more members of our community and engaging with Milwaukeeans. Kintara Soufran will be the first curator of community dialogue for the museum. She spoke with Lake Effect's Becca Schimmel about her connection to the museum and how she hopes to share that with a more diverse group of Milwaukeeans.
So what exactly is a curator of community dialogue?
That is a fantastic question. So I would say that the formal job description is that the curator of community dialogue is going to be developing and implementing a comprehensive plan for adult community engagement, building the institution's capacity for making art relevant to our community, and delivering robust community programming. And all of that is tied to the Milwaukee Art Museum's strategic direction. I would say the way to whittle that down is to, and how I think about it, is that I'm really in the position where I'm thinking about, one, how can our programs be in alignment with our museum collection so that we can truly build an institution, build a collection, build programming initiatives that reflect and speak to a larger Milwaukee and Southeastern Wisconsin. So it's really, for me, about centering audience, centering our community's needs, and specifically speaking to Black and Latinx audiences. And I would say my time at the museum has taught me, and I experienced the ways in which the Milwaukee Art Museum is a beautiful building, but it doesn't always feel welcoming to people who are Black, brown, of color, low income, non-English speakers. So really thinking about how do we work to make the museum accessible to all?
Yeah. And why do you think this is something that Milwaukee needs right now? I know the position has been in the works for a long time, but why is it needed right now?
I think that this position really coalesces with this moment of extreme political turmoil that we're living in. So there's a few ways in which the Milwaukee Art Museum is not exceptional in that a lot of museums are reckoning with what does it mean to have been seen as elitist, historically white, classist, sometimes racist, right? And I think that the Milwaukee Art Museum, both on one hand, is on the cusp of really trying to redress those representations, right? To really figure out how to better reflect a Milwaukee population and how to really be accountable to a larger Milwaukee that is not white, not wealthy, not used to going to a museum. And for me, as the eternal optimist and advocate for the arts and the humanities, I really see the museum as a place that can inspire dialogue during these really difficult, intense political times. And even beyond that, I truly believe in the Milwaukee Art Museum as a place of inspiration, and that it can currently and in the future reflect the stories of people who look like me and with backgrounds like me. I didn't grow up going to art museums. My parents didn't grow up going to art museums. I think their first time being in art museums was when I was working at the Milwaukee Art Museum. So how to make it so that, like, my daughter, my cousins, my nephews, people who I encounter in Milwaukee all feel like the Milwaukee Art Museum is an invaluable part of the cultural fabric of the city.
And as a creator yourself, what does it feel like to be pursuing this passion of bringing more people into the museum and sharing that passion that you have for the work that you do?
I think that it is because I'm a creator and an art maker that I really understand how art can document people's experiences and how art can really, unlike any other platform, be a space of learning about others and telling others your story, broadly defined. And so because of that, I think that it makes me really excited to think about why the art museum could be relevant for people who, I mean, let's be real. I think coming to an art museum, there's a lot of obstacles that keep people from going, from costs to transportation to parking to figuring out, is there some sort of cultural etiquette for behaving in the museum? And I think because I'm aware of all those hurdles and all the structural and institutional barriers that could keep people from coming, but also because I'm a creator, I know that there is something to be gained from being in that space. There's something to be gained even from seeing one work of art that reflects you and where you are in this moment. There's like a refuge that the Milwaukee Art Museum can offer. And I think that's the thing that makes me really excited, is about how to connect those dots to people who see as going to the art museum as a luxury when I see it as a necessity, right? For just being able to survive and thrive in this moment.
And speaking of that etiquette that you often feel that's unspoken within art museums, how do you get past that and explain this unspoken etiquette, whether it's necessary or not, and who is welcome because of this?
Let me just say that the only thing you should not do in an art museum is take photographs of some of the works, because the photographs will damage them over time, and bring food and drink into the galleries, right? Because we want to protect the art. Other than that, come as you are. So I think that's the etiquette, is actually maybe one of the ways in which I think, and I'm speaking specifically as a Black identified person who also understands what it means to deal with microaggressions, to deal with being policed and followed in stores and various places, to have Black men who I care about who literally can't enter and refuse to enter some places because they're tired of always having to justify their experiences in those places. So I think that it's not necessarily etiquette, it's more about, on the museum side, how do we train people so that they are culturally understanding of what it means to follow people in galleries, right? Even though you think you're doing your job and just making sure that the art museum is okay, per the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston, actually following people is a racist act, right? Especially if they're Black and brown people who are used to being policed in various capacities. So I think on the internal side, it's about training and cultural competency and cultural sensitivity, and understanding how these behaviors read as something else to people who have historically been policed, right? And made to feel other. And then on the outward side, it's about saying, come as you are, this is your space. Please, we encourage you to have conversations about the works of art. You are having a loud day and your toddler refuses to be quiet. That's cool, we get it, right? You get super excited and can't contain your joy. Instagram video that, you know? So I think that it's about how we communicate that to people, and also how we do the internal work of really extending our welcome mat, and extending our welcome mat by learning a little bit more about what will make people feel comfortable given where they're coming from at any given point in time.
Trainings, to me, it seems like one of the hardest parts about developing these trainings is making it something that doesn't just check off boxes, but actually creates a conversation, challenges a perspective. How do you go about that? And what are you thinking in relation to that?
Great. So I think that my background, and one of the things that kept me in undergrad, was the Oberlin College Dialogue Center, which is now known as the Yorkwa Belachew Center for Dialogue at Oberlin College. But essentially, that was a space for doing training on mediation and conflict resolution, but especially through a social justice lens. So in my bones are the tools for facilitating really difficult discussions. However, I think that in order to build trust with my fellow MAM employees, it means outsourcing, right? Especially outsourcing so that I can be a part of those conversations too. My biggest fear is that people are gonna be like, oh, they hired a Black woman for this job. She's clearly magical and gonna fix everything. I am magical, but I can't fix everything, right? There's a team of people. And I think the beautiful thing about Milwaukee is that there's so many people doing this work, from P3 development to Ubuntu, helmed by Dr. Monique Liston. So really reaching out to people who have already been working with area organizations and companies to do training around racial equity, program assessment, and also how to maintain accountability and grow and not just make it a one-off, checking off a box, we did that. No, it's like, how do we tie that back into our yearly evaluations? How do we also ensure that people across pay scales are able to participate in ways that are equitable, right? So I think that's my interest. So even though I'm mindful of what it means to facilitate a conversation across discord and differences, and that leaves people feeling vulnerable and able to communicate and heard regardless of their perspective, I think there's already amazing organizations doing that work. I think the Zeidler Center is another great model of what it means to share space with people and to listen and be heard across perspectives.
And thinking about this moment in time that we're seeing, how has a summer of protests and activism influenced your approach to this new role or your plans for the role?
I am currently not in Milwaukee. I'm in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois, so central Illinois, before I transition. And I have to say, when this job came out, my first thought was, oh, really? Like in a pandemic? Okay, cool. Yes, I'll take a risk and apply for a nonprofit job right now. But as I continue to think about it and as I continue to witness what's been happening in Milwaukee, because my extended family is there. And as there was this moment in, I think it was June, where people were chalking outside of the Milwaukee Art Museum, and they were chalking on behalf of Black Lives Matters. And for me, everything about this political climate, everything about the call for racial justice and racial equity, makes me feel like museums matter now more than ever. And if they don't adapt, become accountable, become truly do the work of being inclusive spaces, then they're no longer relevant to our society. I feel like museums are public spaces where it's like public spaces for dialogue, disagreements, reconciliation, feel like they're slowly disappearing. And I think that's why works of art matter to me, because sometimes it's a lot easier to talk about racial justice when you're looking at a work of art that documents the experience of disenfranchised people, Black people in particular. Like that becomes a facilitator of conversations and experiences in a ways that I think humans, we just sometimes fail to listen to each other, but somehow it becomes a little bit easier when art is a mediator for that. So I would say that the experience of the protest just made me feel even more that there's more that the Milwaukee Art Museum could be doing, especially because the image of the Calatrava is one that I think has become synonymous with Milwaukee skyline. And for that, I think it becomes an unspoken responsibility for us to reflect our city.
How do you plan to reach out to the Black and Latinx community in Milwaukee?
That is a great question. I would say that it's probably communities, not communities. So there's like multiple Black and Latinx communities. That's not me correcting you. That's me wanting to use this platform to acknowledge that there's not one Black or Latinx experience. And I think that I want to be mindful of that when I enter into this work. I think that there are already amazing organizations that have been doing the work and that are trusted and have been both on the ground, writing grants, organizing with people, really a safe haven for connecting folks and gathering resources and distributing them. So for instance, You Black or Urban Underground, like Milwaukee's, the Black Holocaust Museum, like Walker's Point Center for the Arts. Like there's already so many spaces that I know and love and connected with before I left the Milwaukee Art Museum for like an academic career. And so part of the work that I wanna do is reach back out to those spaces and to reach out to other organizations who are already doing the work and to shut up, listen, and see how I can do, what I can do to support their initiatives, and if and how they'd be interested in partnering up with me. So it's a lot of the work that I really love, which is connecting to organizations that are already doing the work to ensure that there's a better Milwaukee tomorrow and for the future to come.
I think it's a great point you make about there being multiple communities and different experiences, and that you want to be mindful of that while moving into this new role, and just having an awareness of the work that other people are doing and the partnerships that you want to cultivate when you move into the new role. So what is your vision for this new position? How do you see it?
So for me, I see this role, again, it's part program planning, part developing community partnerships, part getting to curate exhibitions, all this like fun stuff on paper. But for me, I see this role as fundamentally connected to community building. So on the one hand, I think it's what we've talked about before, it's sort of reaching out into greater Milwaukee and connecting and building partnerships, like sustainable partnerships, not just one-off events with organizations, right? But on the other hand, I think that there's that internal work that needs to happen in the Milwaukee Art Museum as well. So it's not just always this outward facing, doing this stuff to bring audiences in. I think in order to speak to some of the issues that we talked about, how does the museum become inclusive and inviting for all people? It means, all right, what training do we need to do, right? Like what training around racial equity, around racial bias, around classism, around disability and access, around ageism, right? So thinking that young people can't be in a museum by themselves. So I think that my focus is also thinking about internally, how do we build a community of MAM employees who have a similar vision and understanding of what it means to be supportive and welcoming of all of Milwaukee and all of Milwaukee zip codes. And I think that's also tied to the fact that we've been working offsite and virtually for a really long time. We don't necessarily have the same relationship that we would have if we were face to face. So how do we start to build trust and to feel like a community that's working together? And that means spending time and pausing. So not just filling our calendar with events just because we think that we have to, but really being intentional and mindful about how we build connections both inside the museum and externally. So as I get older, I feel like I'm more like the turtle instead of the hare, and doing things slowly and thoughtfully, but really so that 10 years from now, I'm not recreating the wheel, right? That we've got a system that works and maybe needs to be tweaked from now and then. But that's one of the things I'm thinking about.
What are some of the things that you're really looking forward to or you're excited to get started on with this new position?
Connect. I didn't realize until COVID that I am an extrovert and I am like ready to be in touch with people. I think I still have lots of Milwaukee folks like who weekly I'm checking in with them, you know, like they've become part of my chosen family and a really important part of my network. So I think I'm excited to grow that net of people and just to have conversations and learn about what's been happening and to see how the Milwaukee Art Museum of the post-COVID, post-2020 election can help our city to heal and to feel like there's more to this moment.
Kantara Soufran will be the first curator of community dialogue for the Milwaukee Art Museum. She spoke with LakeFX Becca Schimmel about what she hopes to accomplish in this new position. And that is today's edition of the show. I'm Joy Powers. Audrey Nowakowski and Becca Schimmel join me in producing Lake Effect each week with help from Jack Urbanis. Becky Mortensen is our executive producer. We also heard from Latoya Dennis, Susan Bentz, and Mayon Silver from the WUWM News team this week. Lauren Sifison is our digital producer. Jason Reeby is our studio engineer, and Michelle Maternowski is our managing editor. Willie Porter wrote our theme music. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and I hope you can join us again Monday at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect on listener-supported 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee. Milwaukee's NPR.